Hey everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Gamer Heroes Podcast. Today on deck, we've got me, Thomas Egan, and we got Josh Welch.
How you doing, Thomas? Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
It has. It's been a little bit of a minute. You know, life comes at you, but I won't turn around an opportunity to talk video games. That's for sure.
I dig it. We got Cam out this week. He'll be back next week, I imagine. But excuse me. We got a bunch of stuff. Well, the first thing I want to talk to you about, I know you've been playing The Division.
Oh, yes.
We've got, I tell you what, let's go down here. We'll talk The Division. We got some funny news. We got some, a bunch of stuff, honestly, that has to do with Fortnite, which is just funny how this stuff goes. But Battle Royale, so I know I'm playing Apex. Got some news about that.
Mm-hmm.
Some stuff coming out tomorrow. But let's really dive in. I don't know anything about The Division 2.
Okay.
Except that it's
what do you
like,
know about Division 1?
Kind of PvP, kind of PvE.
You're wrong.
All right, it's a loot-based shooter.
It's a looter shooter, but doesn't mean you have to be a PvP game. So, so high level. Division 1, let's take you back. So, Division 1 was about an epidemic that literally is catastrophic to not just the United States government or United States, but all across the world. The dollar flu, right? Not the bird flu, but the dollar flu, you know. It was scientifically generated to
put dollar signs in your eyes.
Well, it's handed off by the dollar bill, right? What's the most, you know, you hand off dollar bills and you contract this dollar flu. Anyway, this epidemic happens and it cripples societies and cities. And, you know, it's kind of like that hero state type of game where there is just this one group of people that try to instill control, laws, regulation, the saviors of society. It's called The Division. So you are an agent of The Division. In the first game, the epidemic was really early in the epidemic, of the dollar flu. And, it takes place in, New York City. In Division 2, it takes place in Washington, D.C., which is a great space to do this game. I really think it was a lot better than New York City. So before we get into like the details of the game, so you're going through this epidemic, post-apocalyptical type scenario in a different sense. There's no zombies here, right? It's a flu. It's an epidemic, like the bubonic plague just starts destroying society, right? You know, hospitals shutting down, police stations shutting down. People are dying left and right, and there's no way to control it. This took place in New York, started in New York, as I imagine. I don't quote me on the details. But the game itself started in New York, and it was in a snowy New York, like it's all in the mm-hmm. winter. So game was it being a game in epidemic, post-apocalyptical proportions happening in New York City, which you're like, oh my gosh, it's so cool. But it's in the winter. So where they did well was getting all the landmarks right, where I felt that it didn't hit me well was that it was winter. Like the first game was all in the winter. And for me, I get like seasonal depression when it comes to the winter. So yeah. When I have to play a game that I really enjoy and it's always in the winter, it kind of
had
me
like
the
gloom
wrong
and doom.
Way.
Dude, right? Whenever we get
it's like water level in Zelda, just play the whole game in the water level.
Yeah. Dude, whenever we get like the first snows of winter, I'm like, all right, Skyrim time.
Yeah.
Like these days, I pretty much play it once or twice
every
a year.
Winter.
I play it like once a year, and it's as soon as it snows, it's like, all right,
it's
time to get
Skyrim
under a blanket and time to go out there and explore.
There's so much to do there. No, it's number one was a great game. I think that what we'll get into with number two, though, I want to don't dwell on too much of what number one was.
What I would like to talk about is so the Division 1 I know came out in the Destiny 1 era.
Yep.
Where like loot shooters were
little after Destiny 1 era, but yeah.
But they were kind of competing for a little while. You know, it was kind of like your Fortnite and PUBG. It's like your Call of Duty and Halo. You just had two similar enough shooters, and they were both trying to distinguish themselves from each other, right?
Sure.
So I had played an amount of Destiny 1 up through the first raid, and that's about as far as I got. I never even dipped my toe in Division. But I was really interested in what that had to offer, where you'd go into like the dark zone
yes
thing, where you would do your thing and get loot, but then at the end, you know, you gotta basically, what's it called? Like, not Fulton, but basically send off the loot that you got. You've gotta like hang out for a second so it can be airlifted off, however it works. So exactly, there's a danger at the end where it's like, oop, are we gonna get
attacked? I think that's where what sold a lot of people off, because even with the people that I'm playing with right now, so let's take it back in when the game came out in 2015, I was just moving from Columbia, Missouri to Kansas City, and I was living in a friend's house. My whole family of four was living in a friend's house. And the only thing that kept me going, you know, living in someone else's house while I was kind of transitioning, was the game Division. So late nights, I would stay down low without waking up all the families in the house, and I would play Division One, and it was and I would play a lot of the Dark Zone. The Dark Zone is a space in Division where it's open PvP. Mm-hmm. You can, in Division One, you can destroy or kill anyone you see. The idea is that you would go around, do activities within the Dark Zone, and you would loot. And that loot, though, was contaminated. You can't just walk out of the Dark Zone. You can walk out in and out of the Dark Zone at any time, but you can't take loot in and out of the Dark Zone any time. That has to be decontaminated. So the only way to do that is to airlift it out of there. Mm-hmm. There are only certain points in the Dark Zone where you can airlift it. So you would say, hey, I just dominated this NPC in the Dark Zone, and I got this great gold and epic loot. I'm going to use my team, and we're going to go run to the extraction point. We're going to launch that extraction point. We're going to let our contaminated gear get airlifted out of there. The problem with that was that it would be announced to the whole map in the Dark Zone. So if you're airlifting something out of there of value, everyone in the Dark Zone would know about it. Mm-hmm. So then you would have people that just sit there and be like, hey,
we're just going to chill out.
We're going to chill out here until we see some, and we're going to snipe you. We're going to attack you. The difference there is that they can only do certain activities that would make them go rogue. Like at this point, as you walk through the Dark Zone, and we're going to talk about Div 1 for just a little bit longer. In Div 1, Division 1, as you're in the Dark Zone, you just start killing anyone you wanted. That would make you go rogue. You
steal. I hope so.
Yeah, right. If you killed someone that, you know, you can look at each other. I make some funny relationships if I just look at another random player. We just wave at each other, do emotes at each other.
You cool?
It's kind of like that Office episode where
with
the finger guns, you're just looking at each other like, all right, no one move.
Yeah.
All right, you know, and that's kind of what they did.
Dude, as like an aside, some of my favorite moments in Apex are when you and another team both see each other, but you don't want to be the first one to shoot. Like, you see each other, and you kind of, you know, you do the, I got my eye on you.
Yeah.
And you're both sitting there, you're waiting for a team to roll off.
I'm waiting for their team. I'm like, hey, if he's going to roll on you, I'm going to start picking you off.
But I love that moment of just like,
I
can't even whistle. I'm trying to do the...
Very nerve-wracking in those type of situations. In Division, I think that's really what sold number one. I know there was a lot of hatred for number one. It was very 50-50.
It's the same as with Destiny. It's people... There aren't a lot of people on the fence about it. Everybody, if they know about it, they have some sort of opinion. I mean, here I am on the fence, but I feel like I'm definitely the odd man out. What I wish didn't happen was I wish people weren't so fragmented. A lot of the people that I see wanting to play one or the other, they mm-hmm. like those games, and it stinks to see them split between two choices. Because it's a different version of when I want to play with my Xbox friends, but mm-hmm. I have a PlayStation. I'm like, oh, man. Like, we're both playing. We both like the same stuff.
Yep.
I wish we could play together. So that's kind of apples and oranges there. But, you know, I wish they came out at different times, or at least in my head. You know, maybe they were different. And in my head, I've just got it mixed up. But, yeah, they're just close enough where it's like, okay, well, I don't really know what the difference is enough for me to really be sold on one or the other.
Well, here is why I'm here, Thomas, because I've got to sell you on this game. I love the game. The first one, I was upset because there was a lack of content. It was mm-hmm. like I would get to level 30, I would get myself in the Dark Zone, and then I'm literally sitting there waiting for raids, what they called raids or events where you can only do four people in an event, and you'd run this very epically hard mission, and you get very high gear. Or you could spend your time in the Dark Zone and get killed if you were solo. Like, it really had – there was no opportunity for a solo player to make any advancement in the game. Mm-hmm. Game dropped off after that. Like, there was very few player base. It was started off very hot, and then after you got to the end game, it was very, what do you do?
It very cold.
Very cold, yeah. In the winter. I like it. It was just very, very difficult. I actually was one of those guys who's very upset with the game and where it went, because I thought it was going to be a game where I could see, personally, I think they should redo their whole product model, but I'll get into that later. But there's just nothing to do. Div 2. Mm-hmm. I get the game. I start 3 days earlier, which started on Wednesday, and I've been playing for now 4 days, or at least 4 or 5 days fully. It started on Wednesday last week, and the game itself, they literally looked at, hey, where did we fail in Division 1? Let's go fix that. Where they failed? Personally, I thought the weather, but a lot of people love the weather. I hated it.
I can't
snowy levels. Just I can't do it. I can't do it.
Dude, I love weather effects in games. Like, totally love them.
It was only snow. So what you get with DC, which, hold on, it comes back to it. The DC, the way they did it, whoever's architecting these cities and streets, on point. From what I've heard, there are already people on Reddit taking pictures of where DC is in the game and where they are in real life and showing, hey, this is how right they got it. Only was it the landmarks are great again, which they did great in New York. The weather is spectacular. Now, instead of just snow or blizzards or fogginess, I've got rain. I've got bright sunlight. I got fog. I've got heavy torrential rain. And DC, from what I've understand on Reddit, they are just knocking out landmarks. Like, this is almost to the T what DC looks like. So that's great. Also enjoy in any division game where you will see from any pro division player is the shooting. I've not seen a game so crisp in shooting with their guns and their type of guns ever. Apex has come close. It's a new game. But the crispness of locating targets. There's no snap shooting either. It's not like it just auto-targets you. This is all you. But their guns, like machine guns, some machine guns, assault rifles, sniper rifles. The ability to shoot in this game and to modify your gun to help your assistants in shooting, top-notch. You cannot get away. Their ability to just throw so much at you. You get the whole city of DC. You're like, how do you make DC better than New York? You're like, New York's the biggest city in the world. What are they going to do differently in DC, which is a very iconic city, right? Mm-hmm. And right off the bat, they throw you as their base capital is the White House. Right. So, and the White House to a T, you can go in all the rooms. You use all the rooms throughout DC or the White House, and then everything outside of the White House, all the front yard. It's immaculate. It's immaculate. It just really kind of really ties you into the game. So now I'm in Division 2, and I am now a division agent in Washington, D.C., trying to help facilitate the progression in this catastrophic event that's happened. There's always these other gangs and groups like the Hyenas and the JTC and all these groups that are trying to prevent you from progressing, and you are a division agent trying to promote that peace.
Did they have interesting, like, was it an interesting enemy faction, or was it just don't like you because you are, the good guys?
I'm only level 18 in Division 2, and the enemy factions right now that I'm closely associated with are the Hyenas. The Hyenas are pretty much your low tier, just don't like conforming, right?
Your for the better women. Good.
Yeah, kind of like that, right? They're just your non-conformists. I'm imagining now that I'm at 18, I'll see some other factions. I'm pretty sure I already have, but again, the game's only been out for a few days, so I'm just now associating myself really closely to the Hyenas. But the game itself has been fun. There's just so much. Again, I want to go back to what I said earlier. Is they took everything they did wrong with Division 1, and they just said, hey, you know, it started picking up the end of our reign of Division 1. Why was the end of Division 1 so successful compared to the beginning of Division 1? Well, in my mind, it was just there was so much more to do. Mm-hmm. bounties, public executions. When I say these things, like public execution, broadcast stopping, contaminated area halting, what I mean is there was these events.
Just world events. World out events. In the air.
It took forever to get to in Division One. And now, right off the bat, they throw you these into these events that progress you through the story. Like, you have – it's very open world. And that's what I really thought about. I felt that Division One is very linear, and you had to go through these main missions, and slowly you'll get to the end game at 30, level 30. Now it's like, man, I was level 18. I was still hanging out in level 12, 14 area, and I didn't realize it because there was just so much to do.
That's good.
The public executions, the broadcast, the supply drops. There was just so much to do and so much loot to get. I haven't realized that I am way behind in the story compared to where I'm at. Like, I'm 18 in a level 12 to 14 area. It's not that – and it doesn't matter to me, though. I don't care. The grind has been okay. The ability that there's only 30 levels and I'm okay where I'm at right now has been awesome.
You're over-leveled, you still feel like you're having a good time because the content's good?
Exactly. That's actually – as you said, over-leveled. The guys – the – NPCs and not creatures, but you know, just the bad guys, the AI, they're difficult. They're very difficult. They don't miss. They don't miss. Yeah. It's a loot and shooter, but it's a cover shooter. So if you're not in cover, their AI knows you're not in cover. You're going to get hit. Pop, pop, you're already down half life. Like, oh my gosh, I was literally out of cover for 2 seconds. So it makes it very challenging. So far, Division 2 has been entertaining. I have my own personal take on it. You know, there's so much more in the story I probably have not gotten into. You know, the point of Division 2 is life after the Dollar Few and how these societies are progressing. How is DC growing after the epidemic, right? Mm-hmm. And there are still those factions that want to not partake in the Association of Peace, etc. So you need division agents out there to help kind of promote that. So I'm excited to see where this goes. I had this huge idea for this game because of their detail in the cities. Change their fucking model, right? This game is a single release game that only comes out every 2 to 3 years. And they're probably going to have, they'll have Division 3, right? They'll have Division 3 in a new city. Say it's Los Angeles or Vegas. Why not change that model? Make it an MMORPG. Make it a living game. And then each expansions are new cities. Think of this that you could only release expansions if it was based on your location. So Madrid, Spain, for example. Mm-hmm. Only those who are located in Madrid, Spain can access Madrid, Spain.
That's a tall order.
It is a tall order. Now, it is a tall order, but there are so many things they could do. Like, I could access it as someone from Missouri, of course. You know, I'm not hoping their expansion is Kansas City, which would be dope. Mm-hmm. But what I'm trying to say is, of course, you want to be a part of the big cities. But those who are around these bigger cities have access to it earlier than others. Like, get rid of this, I'm just going to launch a game every 3 years and add a new city. Make it living. I would love to go back to New York City in this game. Like, Thomas, this game is so realistic from the details of the architecture that I'd love to go see New York City again in the summertime. Mm-hmm. Because, again, like I said, playing New York City in the winter is just...
Play Marvel Spider-Man.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. So I haven't actually played that game, but I've played like an hour of that game, but I don't own it. But I have read a lot about it, and even my friend... went to Columbia University up in New York.
Oh, really?
Right? No. Yeah, and he was like, hey, go over here, because he could tell where we were in the city based on just swinging around. He's like, oh, yeah, if you go over there, there's Columbia. And he drops down. He's like, oh, man, I used to do such and such there. And, yeah, I remember, oh, man, even I lived in that in that apartment right there. Like, he was like, yeah, I was on this floor.
I saw that.
That many over. It's like, man, that's
pretty, I saw people associating. Wild. I love these games now, especially when they take place in real cities like this, that they are associating what. Like, I don't know how gaming creators cannot now associate, like, if they're going to say, we're going to base this in Chicago, it best be to the T. Like,
well, not, I...
In my mind, it should be like, you can snapshot
that. If that's what they're going
that.
For, then, yeah, they have so many tools in their arsenal.
Yeah.
But if you really want to go off on your own, I mean, you could stick with the landmarks, and then stuff in between could be whatever you want. Because sometimes, for the sake of making your own game, you need to build infrastructure that is... that makes more sense for like how you're going to tell your story and all that stuff. So maybe having stuff to a T isn't the way you want to go. But I hear what you're saying of like, if that's what you're trying to do, you can see anything. Like, you know, when I popped on Google Earth on the Vive, yeah, to be able to fly around even Kansas City, you know, or I went to Paris just because, right?
Really?
And you can fly so far down. You can get your head, you know, you're in three-dimensional space. You can get your head down like below the rooftops of buildings and look around and see a good, you can tell what you're looking at. Like, yeah, the stuff is, you know, the trees aren't shaped like trees. They're, you know, what they're the shape that like a Lego tree would be, but you can still see everything in high fidelity. And it's amazing that is a technology that we just have access to.
Yeah.
And, you know, so likewise, like to swing around in Spider-Man and to actually see New York and Central Park.
I haven't got to play Spider-Man, and I imagine the details. Yeah, I imagine the details are out there and almost incomprehensible to any other game that's put out that says, hey, we're in New York, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is New York.
Well, you always have, so an example of kind of what I had mentioned of like, put it in the landmarks and then fill the stuff in between. So many games do San Francisco, right? And you have that one hill, that curvy road hill that's so iconic. You know what I'm talking
about? I also think of, hold on, when you say maybe, but I'm also thinking of when I think of San Francisco, I think of the immediate slope downhill. Like, you know, you have this trolley that goes up, right? All the way up this almost like vertical hill, right? Mm-hmm. And I also think Fuller House, right? Or Full House, mm-hmm, sorry.
Yeah, seeing the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah, right. So that's what I comprehend with. But the winding road, maybe I see it, but I always think when I see movies or games, I'm like, there's always this hill. There's always this hill. It's just almost vertical. It's like, how do you get up this hill in San Francisco?
Right. That's
But those things you got to take into place when you start putting titles to cities. And I just really think that in my mind, Division has done A+.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think anyone else has said they haven't, because Division 1, New York City was such a big iconic city to start in, which I wish they didn't, because they could only improve on, right? So they picked one of the hardest cities to do first.
Right.
And they did a very good job. But Washington, D.C., so iconic.
It's no Far Cry. They're not going to be like, all right, let's pick a city in Montana. Yeah,
and then destroy it real quick. Right, you know,
there's like the idea of having that geolocation stuff, you know, to be in Kansas City and to be able to play around Kansas City, like that really is such a tall order, and I would love for that to exist. I wonder if something like that could exist in a game or in whether it's like on like you've got a bunch of, through the past couple decades, you've got a bunch of stuff online where people can create their own user content, mm-hmm, right? Whether it's a custom map in Warcraft 3 or it's you know, stuff on Dreams, which Cam's super interested in, or, you know, even anything in Tilt Brush, where you can just paint something amazing and send it out there for other people to do stuff, or even Mario Maker, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
But I wonder if something like that would exist where a community would come up that would create that content, because for one business to do all that, that's insane. Like, I think they're, like, I would love it, but I don't know how anybody could spend the resources on that and turn a profit.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish your statement.
I wonder, like, I would love for something for that to exist. And I wonder if that would happen if a developer made some really kick-ass tools that were available to their community.
I think the infrastructure is there, because I used to play this game. I know this is not even close to what I'm about to say here with what is Division 2. But I used to play this game in college. 2006 to 2011. Yeah, I was a five-year guy. It's all right, right? In 2007, I got this game called Parallel Kingdoms. It was on the phone, a GPS-based phone game, the first GPS game I ever played. I think it's still active. And what it was is wherever you were located, it uses natural – I'm going to be wrong here, but it uses the national GPS location system that most GPS location devices companies use, like Garmin, et cetera. Sure. So you could see everything. But they built in another layer on top of the GPS to add abilities to claim land. So I'm in Maryville, Missouri, went to school at Northwest Missouri State University, and I was playing this game called Parallel Kingdom. So where I lived on 206 West 3rd Street, oh man, that's really going back, trying to remember, and I could see myself on this, and I could claim points. I would travel outside of my home area and claim points around Northwest Missouri. I would have to farm. Just a little picture on a Jeep. Think of your GPS location on your phone or on your Garmin. That's all it was. But they had little pictures. They had pictures that were there, and you could, like, there'd be a picture of a tree. Like, I could chop down the tree real quick. And that'd and they'd see the town hall. It would know locations based on their GPS geographic location. So I knew that downtown was about 4 blocks away, and downtown's where all the main players would be and trying to claim territory. I really want to see that take next level with Division. Like, if you can do that on a phone and have this parallel kingdom, why not start building the United States in a game? I want to travel from, and now I'm not saying every city can be there. I'm not going to say you can go to Wahoo, Nebraska, or, you know, Manhattan, Kansas, or Ames City, Iowa. You know, I'm not saying that.
Those real places, I have no idea.
You never been to Wahoo, Nebraska?
No. Nope.
Oh, I've driven through it.
Sounds like a hoot.
It is a hoot. But that's what I'm saying. Like, you could have this type of game where build a model where the same game concepts are available in this city, but you can play in this city and develop as a character within another city. It's like, I'm based out of Kansas City.
Would that be like a mobile game? Because what you're describing sounds similar to Ingress, which was the precursor to Pokemon Go, right?
Okay.
So it's built on the same system by Google, where in Ingress you have,
I know the,
like,
game.
Yeah, any works of art, any like, if there's a water tower, or if there's a fountain, or, you know, whatever, tons of stuff. Mm-hmm. So you go there, you hang out for a minute, you capture it, blah, blah, blah. So a very similar thing. You know, I've been interested in those. Like, I really think geolocation-based games are very cool, but they have never seemed pragmatic to me in their gaminess. Like, Pokemon Go, I wanted to be more Pokemon fighty. Like, yeah. I didn't like the battles. And I was like, oh, man, like, this does some cool stuff, it's just not quite what I wanted.
You're thinking too mid-2000s. I'm talking about geolocating a fully 3D, like, put a team together, develop Kansas City, develop St. Louis, develop Ames City, develop Topeka, develop Colorado, develop Boulder. I know it's a lot to ask for.
It's so much. There's so many.
But you're right. So you as a team, I mean, you're right. I'm asking a lot, but what can't we do now? Why can't I see that? You're already building these cities almost to a model. Why can't I travel from Kansas City to LA and fight the goddamn epidemic in LA? Right? You know, like, you know, we're already doing so much. I think it's the next level.
It would be cool if they,
a living world, Earth.
I
like
think
Earth.
That would
Google
have
Earth,
to be
MMO.
Like, yeah, yeah. No, I mean, it's a cool idea. I just, logistically, I want a business to be able to figure out how to do
it. How that would work, yeah.
Yeah, because you have to have it moderated, or, you know, there are a bunch of questions to ask. But, I mean, I like the idea. I think it's funny that, like, DC is so detailed.
Yep.
But that is because they only focused on DC. Right?
Very true. No, back to Division 2. Yeah, they spent a lot of time. And the community has been very open on some – there's a Reddit community, I believe, that's talking about where they made mistakes. But when you're talking about wrong windows and doors and building placements at the point, like, it's like, all right,
yeah,
guys, stop nitpicking. These guys did a great job. Like, I have
you're
a,
like, man, Division's pretty fun, but dude,
this,
the hinges –
this exit was not supposed to be here.
Yeah, the hinges are on the wrong side of these doors.
But that's what I'm saying. You know, I think Division 2 – at the end of the day, it's a looter shooter. There's some PvP aspects. The Dark Zone has many improvements. And I know that for our listeners, if you have ever been a Division 1 fan and fell off like I did, this really should bring you back in.
Is it a $60 price tag? And is there DLC?
Humble Gaming and Green Man Gaming, you think you can get it for like $48, $50? But it is a $60 game.
And
it
that's is all platforms, but no crossplay, right?
All platforms, no crossplay. That's correct.
I can't wait to not cross Switch, plays like a normal Switch. Thing.
I know, right? Gosh darn.
But yeah, soon. I mean, that's just, yeah.
That, I played Division 1 on Xbox, and I was just upset with Xbox because, I don't know, loading times are really bad. And now that I'm up, and you can imagine that. Like, loading times are really bad. I would sit there maybe 2 minutes sometimes on bad days, especially because I played it very early on, and it just would sit there. I'm like, oh, I don't want to restart because I don't know if this is really just a bug or am I just loading this slow.
Right.
PC's been very good, very fast. There are other issues like, oh, shoot. When you open a door into a new area, I have been caught in it where I had to restart the mission because I just was like, my body was stuck in the door. Like, I don't know how to explain this.
Oh, is it just are those like loading points?
Yeah.
And you just got.
Well, it's not really a loading point. It is a checkpoint, but I imagine it loads stuff in the background, but usually you just walk through a door. Well, the guy I was playing with walked through it, so I walked right behind him. The door closed and just sandwiched me. Would you imagine it would kill you? It would kill you in real life. But I'm just like sitting there like, I can't move.
Yep.
Can't go. And so I was talking to the guy I grouped up with. He's like, I was like, man, I can't move. Like, I don't know what I'd tell you. I'm trying to jump and do all these things. I can't do it. But other than that, small bugs, the game's been great. I really think, like, with all the, it's got an 8.0 on IGN, it got an 8.5 on PC gaming. So, like, way better than its predecessor. Like, that's for sure. Is there improvements? Yeah. It looks almost like the same game, but just new stuff. Because 2015, 2016 Division 1, the graphics are great. Didn't have to really improve anymore. They did improve on some of the quality of life stuff, but there was just nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't want to take too much more time on Division 2, but Division 2 has been a very, very fun game. I am very tied into its story development. I'm really tied in the more of the tune. When I say tune development, like, there's just so much to advance my character, whether that's the gunplay I do, the skills I use, and skills, I mean, like, you got to think of yourself, you're in an advanced today, modern society. What are your skills? There's drones, turrets, these weird things that you just roll out these balls and they just blow up. They're hives. You have shields, tactical shields. So your skills are based more on modernized techniques. Kind of a little crazy, but your skills are there. It's just a very good game. I'm very, very attached to it at this point in time. I probably will be spending a lot. I spent almost a year in Division 1. I imagine if they keep going this trend, I'm going to put a lot of my time into this game. And I recommend it for you all because it's a very good game.
All right. If I had to ask you one question, okay. So you're level 18, max is 30,
yep.
right?
Yep.
What are you hoping to see?
Okay.
Just in the next couple weeks that you play.
So I'm going to segue this with, I walked into this mission. And usually you can tell your enemies are coming from afar. They're kind of like your items. Yellow or purple guys or rare guys that are enemies.
And how do you tell that? Are they like glowing? They have backpacks?
No, they have health bars.
Cool.
Above their head. And the purple ones are just a step above your regular guys. They have purple health bars, which means they're a little stronger. Those are your yellow guys. You're rare. They have names. They're named bosses. Mm-hmm. And they have more health and more tactics. I walked in this level where I'm supposed to rescue this agent, and then I'm walking this. Usually, you can see all of your enemies from far away. So you're like, oh, I'm not too scared. And what they did here was, I walked in this small enclosed area, and the lights go out. I'm like, holy crap, this is kind of scary. Also, the lights pop up, and this guy, this agent, drops down. He's hanging from like network cables. He's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they killed him. And then all of a sudden, the yellow guy, oh, I can't remember his name. I just played him
the
last
spooky
night.
Hyena.
Yeah, he just jumps through the wall and just starts shooting you. And those guys do so much damage, it scared the crap out of me. I want more of that. I want more of these situational experiences that really kind of creep you out. Because I do know that these bosses, to be very honest, is a lack, which is where they improved on. Your bosses, when you think of a game, you're like, bosses, I want this guy to have super abilities and be very difficult. I'm not saying these guys aren't difficult, but they're just like renamed, recolored.
Right.
regular characters that are just now have more life and more damage, right? Mm-hmm. I think they could improve on there. But I want more situations where, like this guy, in a closed room where I had only one exit, he just drops into the wall and starts shooting me. And they do so much fucking damage. So it was really hard to get around. I actually died right away. I want more situations like that. As I'm getting to level 30, I want more unplanned for hard difficulty situations that just kind of like kind of freak you out. I don't know how to say it. It's the game is very creepy in sense. I know it's a shooter, but you come into this sense where you have these very high level, high difficulty tunes and they come after you and it's very hard. Like they come at you with full bodyguard and throwing bombs at you. You're like, oh my gosh, I can't get out of this.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I want more situational situations where I have to like
more
think
variety.
On my feet. More variety, yeah. Not just your open shooter, like, all right, he's my bad guy. Let's start shooting him down.
Yeah,
right?
Especially with cover shooters. That
Destiny was a big one. Like, you just, all right, there's my bad guy. Let's get him down. I'm going to get some cover.
Yeah.
That one situation where I was in this building where he just came out of nowhere, I'm like, I want more of that.
Yeah, because it's also not like, go here, press the button, right. And defend for 10 minutes.
You know? Exactly. There's a lot of, no, I'm not saying there's a lot of that, but that's a lot of what Destiny, I mean, Division is, you know, it's mm-hmm. there's a lot of, you know what you need to do, there are going to be some guys coming after you, so you right. got to take cover and shoot. But I want some more of that ad hoc type of
think on your feet.
Yeah, really think, exactly. Yeah, think on your feet. I think they need to do more of that. I'm only a level 18, so I don't know what they have incorporated. I'm pretty sure that was something that they got in Division 1. But overall, Josh's balls raking, it's get 9 balls because it's that good. Jeez. I love it, man. It's very fun. It's very fun. And I say that about a lot of games. I mean, I'm very open. But this one has been really cool.
Well, cool. Well, awesome. I'm excited to hear some more about that after you get closer to the end of the game. For now, let's take a little break.
All right, let's do that.
Hey, everyone. This is Greg from Red Shirts and Runabouts. We're the resident Star Trek podcast as part of the Heroes Podcast Network group. If you love Star Trek and things science fiction, we're definitely the show for you. Join us every Thursday as we talk about Star Trek Discovery, the new Picard show, and other ongoing content and new creations from the Star Trek universe. If you want to find us, search Red Shirts and Runabouts podcast on Apple and Google Play. And if you want to interact with us as a host, you can find us at Red Shirts Pod on Twitter.
All right, we are back. And let's see, before we get to news, I want to talk about what I've been playing. Sounds like you've been playing. I'm going to keep this short and sweet.
Okay. I don't know how. I don't know how. I love this game.
But I'm still playing Apex.
Yes.
I'm having a great time. You know, I could talk about it all day. Play it all day. But tomorrow, so we record Monday, tomorrow on Tuesday, which is the 19th of March, the Season 1 and Battle Pass and new character Octane will all be available in the game. Octane's a cool dude. He can sacrifice a little health.
He's also jump pad man, right?
Yeah. I've seen them add the jump pads near the market in the middle of the map. If you haven't checked those out, you should go do it. I have died every time I used one. I was just like, oh yeah, I'm really going to get the drop on him. And boy, was I mistaken.
Wow. So I've been probably stuck in Division too long. So they've already added jump pads.
Sometime in the past, like 3 or 4 days, maybe.
That's what I was wondering because I watched this video on goddamn Reddit. God, we should not trust Reddit, right? But there was this post on Reddit where this guy's just jumping from jump pad to jump pad. I'm like, how do you have access to these jump pads? Mm-hmm. You're not Octane yet, so are they already around there?
Yeah. So I didn't see any announcement or anything. Somebody in the game was like, "Oh, did you know? You see those pads?" And I was like, "I didn't." He never said market, so I didn't know where he was talking about. I assumed he was talking about like a test server. What are they called?
PTO.
Yeah, PTO. I just assumed he was talking about that, and then I
public test
found one.
Yeah,
in
PTR. Sorry,
PTR. Yeah, found one near market, right in the middle of the map, and yeah, there it is. So it's a cool thing, and I had no idea that Octane was going to have that as one of his abilities where he throws that down. I assume it's permanent, but I don't.
Oh, that's weird. So they've also integrated jump pads on top of a character that can have a jump pad that can launch a jump pad. Mm-hmm. Okay. Octane looked fun. I mean, he looks real fun.
Yeah, he looks cool. And I think he heals over time, I want to say, just when he's not in combat.
His passivist, yes.
I think means not getting hit.
Well, he also has shooting, I guess. I don't remember the skill's name, but he gets an increased accuracy boost or attack speed boost or damage, but it costs 10% life, right?
No, that's his speed boost.
Oh, it's a speed boost.
Yeah,
okay.
It costs 10 health and he runs faster.
It's not 10%, it's 10 health?
10 health.
That yeah. seems almost I'd do
because it's 10 time. Health. It doesn't touch shields.
It's not 10%.
Nope.
Okay. All right.
10 health.
10 health.
Because if you were low health, there wouldn't be any penalty.
You'd kill yourself.
Yeah. Maybe, I mean, if you're low health, it's a bigger risk. But okay. like if it was 10% and you had 10 health.
Octane looks like someone I want to play. I mean, to be very honest. He looks very fun.
I think everybody in that game is worth playing. I mean, the more I switch around. Oh, who do you think is not worth playing?
All your big characters. Still, the hitbox stuff has not been
definitely.
Leveled yet.
I think they're the lowest tier
Caustic,
characters.
Caustic, come on,
dude!
Here.
I play Caustic all the time. When you hit that final,
they
final
did buff
couple
him
rings.
with his pads. Gibraltar is still to me just a waste. He's slow. The game does not allow you to play where his skills say. If you want to put this big shield over you. That just puts a target on your ass, in my mind. Like,
yeah,
I think
but you're
the
not
bigger,
doing that to hide. I mean, look, just, I think Gibraltar and Caustic are like maybe the two lowest tier characters in the game, but I still think they're worth playing.
They're very. I think Caustic's very good end game when you have to shuttle down or turtle down, and mm-hmm. like I have won a game with Caustic where I knew right away because he popped one of my traps and then he popped a second one. I'm like, I know where he's going. Mm-hmm. I can go hit him up real quick, right? Yeah. And we win. So yeah, I don't know. Early on, I don't think Caustic is that good because when am I laying traps? I feel like I'm laying traps only when I'm in tampered down. I'm not just going to lay traps and then I'm like,
yeah,
right?
Really, it's just his ult. I mean, his ult comes up really fast.
Oh, it is, yeah.
So, you know, I'm guessing here, but I would say it takes like maybe 3 minutes to come up, and it might even be faster than that, but I feel like it's very
fast. Is everyone
fast.
Ult's different? I didn't
oh,
know that.
Oh, big time. Yeah,
I didn't
Gibraltar's
know that.
Takes forever.
Oh, it's so damaging.
Yeah, and if you
so
have...
I needed something for that character.
Yeah, one of my buddies plays Lifeline every time,
yeah,
and
I do.
It's
I do
hard
too.
For me to pick Gibraltar with her because... Like if I find ultimate accelerants, I'm probably
to give
keeping
him,
them.
Oh, you do? Well, you got to give them to Lifeline.
No, I just want
to
tell him I found them. Because also my friend sometimes forgets to use their care packages, yeah. So I know if I hold on to it and it gets down to like a final fight, I know that my ult is going to be more useful.
There's
at
those
the very
memes.
End
There's those memes you've come across a you know accelerant, you're like giving it to Lifeline so you can just drop. I play Lifeline. It's one of my best, at least. The characters of the cell themselves, it kind of sucks. My best stats are weighted on Lifeline. Like, you know, I've got over 100 kills now. I've got 20 top three finishes. I've got like 6 wins or 7 wins just with Lifeline. So I feel good putting her stats. You know, when you right. large match up with someone that you don't know, you're like, I'm going to show off my best stats. So yeah. They're right there, right? So Lifeline's that person for me.
I never played Lifeline. So one of the
– One kill.
I actually spent – 30 of the crafting stuff to use this one, but I unlocked the care package weapon kills because it's 0 and I wanted it to be 0.
That's
so,
good. I
so
think a lot of people do that.
The only thing I have, like, it's not kills, it's not anything. I only have care package and it's 0 and I'm just like,
For the random chance that there is this woman out there listening to this podcast, there was Super Ninja Bitch. I want to tell you, she carried me. And I want to thank you for carrying me to that win. She was, it sounded like a 15, 16 year old girl. I'm not going to say because women's voices are higher pitched than men's. I could not tell, but sounded
it's
a little.
Hard to tell with kids.
Right. Yeah. Very true. She carried me. And
I've been carried a lot.
She got a Lifeline kill on her, drop. And it was great.
Wait, do you mean?
So you can kill people. It does like 10 damage.
What?
Or so when you drop your Lifeline pack. Yeah, it does damage. Don't stand underneath the care package.
I saw a friend and ally.
Did you know
mine,
you can also kill people with Bangalore smoke?
Yeah,
it does
yeah.
10 damage as well.
I remember throwing a grenade at somebody and I hit him. Like I just hit him in the chest and it did 10 damage. And I was like, oh, what?
It's like a smoke day in Counter-Strike. He just does very little damage. But if it hits you and you can get kills. I still have 0 drop care package kills, but she won us the game dropping it on a door she assumed they would come out of and dropped it and killed one. Just
that's
like
funny.
It was crazy. So Super Ninja Bitch, wherever you're at, wherever you're located, thank you for that one.
I had a great time yesterday. I played a whole bunch yesterday, so instead of going out for St. Patty's, uh-huh. I just gamed pretty much the whole day.
Nice.
It was exactly what I wanted.
Yeah.
So I played
drinking
a whole
green
bunch.
Beer though, right?
Oh, you betcha. Drink some Heineken. So green on the outside.
Yeah, green on the outside.
So I'm playing with a couple guys that I just random dudes I met yesterday, but they had mics. We mm-hmm. did well, so we kept grouping up. And at one point, I had died in a fight. They finished them up, respawned me, and so I'm respawning. Right, I'm coming with I'm getting dropped off by the dropship.
Uh-huh.
I'm about to hit the ground. One of my teammates goes down. The other one, who's especially good, he's starting to get lit up. And so he's backing up like he threw down smoke or something. And he's just like, oh, she's in there. She's in there. She's low. And I hit the ground and I was like, okay, if I was him, what would I want me to do right now? And I was like, all right, I'm doing it. Going in for punchies. So I just hit the ground and I didn't look for armor. I didn't look for a gun. I ran straight to Bangalore and just got in her face. And she saw me because, you know, I wasn't around before. I just got respawned. So she wasn't looking for me. And you don't expect the naked
person. So respawn in the middle of the game. So you're coming off the top.
Mm-hmm. And it was loud and all this stuff. Yep. But she wasn't expecting me to show up. So when I started punching her, she just panicked and left. And I knocked her down and killed her.
Nice.
Like, killed the squad. So that felt great, because you know I really do love getting punch kills in there. It's hard.
I have one recorded, and no, I'm at is it artillery? Yes. And I'm just dodging, just literally duck and slide. This woman has to have as a lifeline. I say woman. So lifeline had the RP-40, whatever it's called.
RE-45.
RE-45.
Love that.
And
gun.
Just shooting me. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. And then I'm just sliding, punching, sliding. I got to get better at my sliding, jumping kicks and all that, realizing that you can kick. And I love how the animations change, but I have it recorded. I promise you, for all the listeners, I can share it. I promise. And I just slid and kicked her, and she falls off the map on airbase. That's what it was, airbase, because side of the map, right? And I kicked her off and she's dead. It was amazing. My favorite kill. But yeah, it was really fun. I love the melee abilities that you have. It's not just punching. You can slide, jump, kick, all that. But anyway, we should talk about what's coming with this darn battle pass. Like, I don't know.
So battle passes are new for me because I've never played a battle royale game before.
Okay.
So,
you have, but you haven't bought a pass for them, right?
I have not played more than 10 minutes of any Battle Royale.
Okay.
I may play like 30 minutes at one of our events, but I was terrible and I lost every fight I was in.
Okay.
I just don't really care for Fortnite at all, but I really do like Apex. So the Battle Pass is coming out tomorrow. You can use the dollar currency. You actually have to pay real money for it. You can't just grind for in-game currency. But it's less than $10. It's 950 coins or whatever, which I think is 950. But yeah, you get that. And what it gets you is, you know, of course, the game is all about cosmetics and all that stuff. You aren't actually buying an edge. Like, you don't get better weapons or anything like that. So you pay like $10-ish. You get 25 levels worth of loot stuff. So like the Apex, the loot boxes, and the currency. I assume, but I'm swimming in that currency. They have a funny model in the store where you can only spend your in-game currency if you've unlocked the one that's on sale.
I saw that. So
costs real money.
It's like an alteration to the skin they have on sale, right? So like you have, and I don't know the names, but I'll just say it: Lifeline's snake skin outfit, and you can get, if you have the snake skin outfit, you can buy the alteration of that with your in-game credits.
Yeah, because you sit there with, I mean, I have a ton of in-game credits. I haven't even bought Mirage because
I have so much
in a big hurry.
I bought those with cash, but go ahead. Mm-hmm.
But they want you to see that big pile of in-game credits and be like, oh, I want to spend these. Well, I guess I'll spend $5 on this other thing so I can spend my in-game currency. Honestly, it's a smart business thing. I mean, I'm not in a big hurry to spend that, but I would like to spend money on the game because I think it's worth it. The same reason I spent money on cosmetics in Overwatch. But I'd rather not just buy Apex packs. I'd rather do something like this pass where
I bought Apex packs.
Oh, I did. I spent
$10. That's it.
Oh, I spent $20. So, but I feel good about it. I mean, it seems like a $60 game to me. You know, I've definitely gotten more than $20 worth of enjoyment out of it. So I don't feel bad, spending that money at all. But, Yeah, business model aside, it's about $10 for the pass. You immediately get 25 levels worth of stuff, and every level you get during the season, you get extra loot. Like, you get.
So I imagine you then don't understand all the challenges, right?
I don't think I do.
So most all battle royales that have battle passes, which they all do, they have challenges. So And I have not looked up. I've been playing Division over the past few days, but I do love Apex, and I'm a very Apex supporter. I imagine, from what I've read, they're going to have the challenges just like any other Battle Royale. So it says, hey, drop 5 times in artillery base and get 3 kills. Oh. So that'll add to your
like
progression. So if you can drop 5 times and get 3 kills in artillery, you're going to move toward your progression of that battle pass, which gives you more loot, more cosmetics, the ability to get the, so in Fortnite, you want to get that coolest, the skin that they kind of put on pedestal.
Right? John Wick
to get
one,
that. Yeah. To get that. Well, John Wick was one of the things you just could buy, but to get this skin and the updated looks on it, you had to get through all levels of your battle pass and then complete certain challenges and achievements to get there. I imagine they're doing that. So you're probably going to see that. I have not looked up into it too much, but I'm almost 100% that Apex will also have challenges where get 16 kills with a Mama Zeke, right? That's a challenge that they're going to have in the season one pass. I bet that's a challenge.
I bet they do that.
Get 10 kills, you'll get 50 points or experience to your progression.
That'd be worth it. I mean, as much as I love punching, if they made me do that with the Mozambique.
Oh, man.
I
always pick one up now. I'm just like, I got to do it. It's like, I got to pick one up. If I get one, I'm like, I'm killing you, man. I'm going to spend my whole time trying to kill you.
Worst
gun ever.
I do and do not hope that they add like dual wielding.
Yeah.
If you could wield like 2 P2020s or 2 Mozambiques.
That would change the game a lot. Wow.
Yeah. So they probably won't do it. And I'm not pushing that hard for it. But, you know, sometimes I'm like, man, I just wish I could have 2 of these semi-automatic pistols because they are. But, you know, same with the Mozambique. It's just like, well, may as well throw the gun at them.
Well, the game has so much promise. I'm very excited to see what they have. I am going to buy a Battle Pass. It's probably going to be my PvP game, even though I told you I'm on Division. There's a good PvP element. It's kind of like my adventure game right now. But I needed something. Like, I can't play Fortnite. I can't play PUBG anymore for some reason. So, like, Apex really filled in a void that I had. So, I definitely will be picking up the Battle Pass for Apex.
That's cool. I hope they do have those challenges. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, they will. They will. I'm almost 100% they will. That's what keeps people playing Fortnite is all those challenges. It wasn't just the Battle Pass.
Yeah, I've just never understood. Yeah. I mean, I've just never understood that. So, now I guess now I do.
Yeah. It keeps you playing the game.
It does. All right. Well, that's all for Apex, really, I think. Right? We talked about Octane. We talked about Battle Pass. We felt like there's something else, but I can't remember.
I think we need to hit some lightning round of really hot topic news here. So I think that we have some stuff that we want to talk about.
Let's do the fun one first.
All right. Let's do the fun one first.
I like this. The Toronto Blue Jays. All right. Baseball team.
Baseball team. MLB.
They've talked about having a curfew for video games on game day because everybody on their team is playing Fortnite. So it's funny, the players were the ones who brought this up as a problem. So they were like, yo.
It's funny, I think you said, who was it? Santana who brought it up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Santana brought it up. He's an older cat. I want to say older cat, older in the clubhouse is what we call these. You know, not probably a video game guy, but I really think he's wrong there. You know, I guess in any job, you have to have a curfew and understanding of when too much gaming is too much gaming. But what I've seen, and as a Kansas City person here, you know, I'm based out of Kansas City and I love my Chiefs, is I've seen both positive and negative influences on gaming and actual physical sports like the NFL and MLB. For example, Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes literally meets up online to play with his teammates.
Mm-hmm.
Tyreek Hill, old Kareem Hunt, you know, Travis Kelce, all the younger guys, Dieter, they are playing Fortnite to build a bond with their fellow teammates. But it's
so
funny.
Those are your friends.
They're not really your friends. They're your coworkers in a professional team.
Well, they don't have to be, but that's, you know, you don't invite people to your game.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
On a formality. Like, oh, well, coach said we had to play together.
But to see Toronto say that a player, Carlos Santana, brings – yes, Carlos Santana. We talked about this. Yeah, not the guitarist.
That's his real
name. That's his name. Had to bring it up saying that, hey, guys, hey, team members, stop playing so much Fortnite.
Yeah. If you drop in Tricky Towers one more time.
One more time after 2 a.m., we're going to call you out. But that's funny. I mean, it just kind of goes into the
impact. That is funny. And we see – I mean – few years ago when the Royals were in and out of the World Series a couple times. I remember it came up multiple times. I read an article that said, hey, the team might be playing too much Clash Royale. Clash of Clans.
Yeah, Clash of Clans.
Where it was becoming a distraction and enough of the players.
That was an article, really? Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I imagine that
And that wasn't just for the Royals. That stuff has come up a lot, and it's just funny to see.
Is Clash of Clans still a thing? I remember it was so huge a while ago.
I mean, I'm sure some people are still playing it. Clash Royale was the big one after that, and then I don't know if there's like a big.
I put like $150 bucks into Clash of Clans right when it came out. Oh, man. Just small gem, just buying gems.
I
think
I spent $10 on it. I was like, this feels disgusting.
I was in a clan and, you know, this forced you. You had to like, you have to attack this or you'll be kicked out of the clan if you don't make an attack. It was so dumb. Anyway, back to it. You know, MLB players and MLB teams putting curfews. It's crazy.
Well, it's funny to me that that was player. It was brought up by the players and not the coach. It wasn't the coach saying, all right, guys.
I imagine the coach has no idea. The manager?
Well, they probably have an idea, but they might not see it as an issue the way that, like, you know, a teacher in a class is going to see something different than
a principal.
Well, no. I mean, like, a student is going to see something that the coach doesn't, right?
Or I get what you're saying. Doesn't. You're saying what Carlos Santana saw that the teacher couldn't, the manager couldn't see because he's more closer to the players.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
So that's remarkable. But then I Googled it because I remember an old article. So this was about this time last year that was, like you said, it was bonding over Fortnite. That specific one was Fortnite. So a year ago, you've got, look at these MLB teams bonding over Fortnite. And then an article a year later that says, whoa, maybe we're playing too much Fortnite.
Playing too much.
So that stuff's just funny. You know, Fortnite and Clash of Clans and stuff, those are such wildly popular games that you can... Like the mobile ones, of course, you can take anywhere. Fortnite now is crossplay, so you can play on just about anything. You know, it's easier than ever to play with anybody. And there's just a higher chance that your athletes are going to be playing these games because, like, everybody plays games. So it's not like, you know, it's not a jocks versus the nerds thing anymore. The jocks are the nerds.
I always think of it like this. It's, you know, when my wife or my mother or my father, stepfather, whoever it is, it's like, you guys waste all your time on video games. I'm like, Dad, you used to just sit around and play pool all day at the pool bar. What's the difference between me sitting around just playing video games? Mm-hmm. It's just a different way of entertainment today. You used to go around and watch races, or you used to gamble on horse races, or you used to play darts all day at the bar. What's the difference between me just sitting in front of my TV playing video games, right? I don't know. It's just a different age. People are going to have different opinions. So
yeah, and I mean, there's a bunch of stuff that comes with it, but right, you know,
it's a new age of entertainment.
It is. I mean, I would say my biggest gripe is, like, I definitely feel like I don't see kids playing outside like I used to. But I also didn't used to live in the city, so maybe I barely talk to my neighbors, which is definitely my fault. So that could totally be on me. I mean, there are a lot of totally valid things with too much gaming, but also it's just so normalized now.
It is.
That it's nice that it's not so not taboo, but... You know, I don't have to explain myself all the time.
I don't get too concerned when it says, I see all the memes, get your kids off the Fortnite and get them outside again. I'm like, okay, yeah, because Fortnite's the only thing keeping my kids inside. You know, like, my kids go outside all the time. It's not definitely, actually, to be very honest, I have two kids and they hate Fortnite. You know what it is? It's Minecraft. That's what keeps them inside. So,
for a lot of kids, it's Netflix, and for a lot of adults, it's Netflix.
Yeah, very true.
Also related to Fortnite, so I read this article we were originally going to talk about that was incorrect. So it was an IGN article that said that crossplay in Fortnite was only going to happen with mobile devices. So it'd only be Android and iOS. We were going to talk about that. I looked up the article again. That article was incorrect. So they updated it, and I find it interesting. So what it actually is supposed to be is... The initial pools that you're put in, so if you are on the Switch, the initial people that you're going to be paired with are going to be mobile and iOS, like I just said. iOS and Android.
That makes sense.
And
Switch.
So those three will be together. And the idea from Epic Games is that will increase the overall experience for everybody on that platform. Likewise, Xbone and PlayStation are... going to be with the PC. So that's where they're initially going to be grouped up when you hit Q, yep. right? But all of them can still play together. They can still invite each other. They can right. still do all that stuff. It's just that when they're initially, when you hit matchmaking, that's who it's going to be.
That makes
first.
A lot of sense. And I'm not going to say who you are. If you're gosh dang good with the sticks, you're gosh darn good with the sticks. If you're gosh darn good on a goddamn phone, like a
on
like
a gosh darn phone, Josh.
A gosh darn. Sorry, I don't know when to cuss or fucking not cuss. Oh, all right, here we go. Anyway, when you're good at a device, you're good at a device. I'm not going to take that away from you. But to be very honest, PC players. Yes, that's loud on the top of graphics screens. We're getting loud here, guys. A PC player, just you've seen the ability cap. I'm not saying it's different from a console player, but you want to play against other PC players. Console players want to play against other console
right,
players.
Right, I do not want to play
I don't want to play or be teamed up with someone who's on a goddamn phone.
Right.
Right?
And a
or
Switch.
On a Switch.
A Switch
I love
does
the
not
Switch.
Feel good, especially it's on the Joy-Cons. It does not feel good for shooting.
And if you're very good on the Switch, more power to you. And you should play with other people that are really good on the Switch.
And you still have the option to play with everybody else.
And if you're very good and you're best friends on PC, you guys can play together. Mm-hmm. But in my mind, I think it's a great move to do that and to prioritize your matchmaking. That's what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So that article was a little kind of
yeah, so I'm glad they updated it. But yeah. even more than that, I looked up another article just to see what other people had said, right? So instead of looking at an article that was updated, I was going to see if I could find another one that was accurate from the get-go. And the next one I looked up said the original one, the original statement, which is inaccurate, but they just never fixed it. It's a five-day-old one. So the original one that was updated was IGN. The other one it wasn't GameSpot. Well, it was another big one. I could look it up, but it doesn't matter. I just thought that was remarkable that 5 days out, this stuff's still pretty fresh. That when I Googled this, that still had the wrong information up. And whoever wrote that article didn't go back to update it after it was already out.
That must have came down from the top and was not clarified to the point where all outlets that were sharing this media must have just took it the wrong way. You
right,
know,
but,
like,
but that's an issue.
5 days is a long time to not have updated information.
Yeah. So for them to just take that same information and run with it is kind of a journalism problem.
Probably.
So, because that stuff needs to be accurate.
But it makes more sense now. And it definitely is very...
Well, it's understandable why they made the mistake. I'm just saying that's obnoxious that that information is still inaccurate up there. And who knows, if we're 5 days out, maybe it'll never get fixed. But that is, like, I don't know. They need to fix it.
Yeah.
And
it rubs you the wrong way.
It definitely does rub me the wrong way. But whatever. I mean, it's not really affecting me. I just don't like it.
Yeah.
And then what was the last one? There was one thing we were going to talk about.
Oh, you know what? We can brush on it real quick here. And it was about Activision putting together a geolocated league for Call of Duty.
So you run
much,
around and you find water towers and water fountains and you play Call of
no,
Duty?
No, yeah, yeah, on the phone. No, a different geolocation-based league, which is – they're trying to mimic the Overwatch League. Mm-hmm. You
so
know, city-based teams. Yes, yes. I actually – you know what? A long time ago, we always thought that this is where it should go. If you're going to have an esports team, make it team-based. I mean, it is team-based, but
location-based.
Tie that team to the city. Now – some people, especially some competitive players, like I know that Shroud has his say on it. Like, you know, most of his teams he's met is through via the internet, right? So having these geolocation type teams is not cool for him. He's also not a big sportsman. But anyway, I think in the industry, it's the way to go. Build a Kansas City team. Build an Oklahoma City team. Build a Nevada, Los Angeles, Las Vegas type team. Call of Duty's Activision is now participating in this. They've already put out a bid for it. Now they're asking, and they said this in the article, and I think I have it right here, and I want to make sure I said this correctly. So the article about Activision and doing their new league, here's the first opener of this ESPN article. Activision Blizzard has begun the sales process for creating a franchise city-based Call of Duty esports league, setting the franchise price at $25 million per team. Did you know that when Overwatch started, it was only $20 million? So I don't know who follows Call of Duty anymore. I know it's a big following. But $25 million per team, they're saying a B-tier game.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I think Call of Duty, as much as I like Overwatch, I think Call of Duty is still bigger than Overwatch.
No way. Really? Mm-hmm. Maybe because the console. And is it going to be console-based? That's what this is. Call of Duty's maybe we're all wrong here. You know, we all have our skeptics here. Call of Duty to me is a console game. The major portion of that player base is console. So is this going to be console or PC? We don't know.
Yeah, I don't
know. 25 million to buy in for a team? So per city.
Dude, I think that's a steal.
I mean, that's crazy.
So Overwatch was 20 million when it started. It was 20 million. And my girlfriend's parent company, she came home one day and she was like, I was in the office and one of the managers came in. She's like, have you guys heard of the game Overwatch? Yeah, our parent company just bought a team for $60 million.
Oh my God.
It's like, man, that's crazy. And nobody else in her office knew what it was. And she's just like, oh, what? This is crazy news.
That's cool.
But 60 million and, you know, for this to start at 25 million, honestly, that seems low. Of course, I don't have 25 million.
You know, I've seen a lot of crazy stats. I think we shared some between our community. It's like that besides the NFL, esports, which, you know, is that's a very big industry, saying esports, a lot of games where you could say you could associate games per sport. But anyway, esports is the most viewed sport. We're going to say that right now. Mm-hmm. Sport only losing to the NFL. Did you know that in the United States?
Yeah, that checks out.
That is crazy. I mean, it was 3 years ago just above NHL. So now it's mm-hmm. being viewed more than MLB, MLS, NHL, like all these top tier sports. It's crazy. The only one it's not beating is NFL.
Yeah, it's been interesting to watch the rise of the viewership yep. and of the prize pots. Because, you know, it's like, oh, you know, this was years ago at this point. It was like, oh, it beat the Masters. Oh, it beat NHL.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it beat, you know.
Oh, Red Dead Redemption 2 just literally tagged more money than Infinity War. You hear that one?
Yeah.
So it's funny, like, wow, what's going on here? Like, you know.
Yeah, there's a ton of money. It's funny talking to people not really in my extended family, but like secondary, yeah. like what's that called? Another degree of separation. People who all see like a few times
extended
a year,
family,
maybe.
Right?
Who we just say like, "Hey, how's it going? How's life? How's work? Okay, good. See you next time." You know, and each time now for a bunch of them, it's like, "Oh, how's your game stuff going?" I'm like, "Man, it's good. It's pretty crazy." You know,
yeah.
And each time they'll be like, "Man." Yeah, there's a lot of money. Like, so this is past weekend. Somebody's like, yeah, there's a lot of money in games. Like, we got two of my nephews who are going to school down in Florida now for coding, for making games. I'm like, yeah. And honestly, when he said there's a lot of money in gaming, I wasn't even thinking that. I thought he was going to say something about esports.
Like playing or competing.
Yeah,
but no,
like,
just
oh,
creating.
Oh man, this was worth, you know, there was a huge prize pot of X millions of dollars and stuff. But that stuff's just remarkable to see. Not only the metrics, you know, get bigger each time, but also to have acquaintances and people who I talk to on an infrequent basis to see the stuff that reaches them, like the people who are not in the know, who aren't necessarily paying attention. It's just interesting, you know, like when Fortnite became big enough where people just knew what it was, even though they didn't know anything about it or didn't know anything about games. It was like, oh wow, to look around and be like, all of these people know, like all these parents, they know what Fortnite is, and this is strange.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it's just interesting to see the rise of all that stuff.
This is, and I personally said this, oh man, I swear I had this documented, but you know what? You could catch me on my Twitch stream or whatever. I swear I said it. Overwatch League was the catalyst to start putting these, they're calling it geolocated, it's right there, but I'm going to say just city-based teams together. And now it's happening. Why not associate these with a model that works? I want to get behind someone I can root for. Yes, I can root for 99 Ninjas or Ninjas in Pajamas or, you know, CLG or, you know, all these different teams. But when it's associated to where I live, it mm-hmm. makes me more attached to it.
For sure.
So when I see the Kansas City Bombers going to start playing, you know, Activision games such as Call of Duty, I might get behind it more. Mm-hmm. Like, I follow Overwatch League only at a minimalist perspective. I see it when they're on, I'm late night playing,
here.
Right?
I'll watch highlights and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. If there was a damn Kansas City team, or I know for a lot of our listeners, there may be a team already associated with you, and I'm glad you can see it. What if there wasn't? For those who have teams associated to your city, what if there wasn't? Would you be watching it? Mm-hmm. And if there was, if there wasn't and will be, would you watch it more? Mm-hmm. Like, in my mind, I would be watching it more if there was a Kansas City team. Or a Midwest team closer to me, like Kansas, Iowa, even Nebraska, Omaha, Oklahoma. Yeah. We know there's Texas. We know there's Chicago, Illinois. We get that. But where's the Midwest at, right? Mm-hmm.
I really want to see this conversation I've had a lot with our other friend, Josh, where, he works for Team Liquid, right?
Yep.
So he knows stuff. He rubs elbows with people who are got a lot of zeros in their paycheck. And, we've talked about housing and the different players that come out that are, shipped out to California where he was, in LA where they wanted him to go, to train, right? So they've got all these people all across these different games. So they have their own house, right? It's the Alienware Team Liquid mm-hmm. training house. And that's a whole thing. There's a whole lot of details that go into that. But I want to see something like that here in the Midwest where your cost of living is so much lower than LA with, LA has an infamously high cost of living. And so if your business is based on just having good internet and housing a team and giving them the amenities that they can find.
Can't see, it's a hot spot here.
Dude, and we've got a ton of technology.
Google
here.
Fiber. Technology is just growing out the ass here.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a lot of companies look to Kansas City to test out self-driving car stuff. Mm-hmm. A bunch of like smart Wi-Fi. We've looked at smart streetlights and all this stuff. We've got a lot of cool tech stuff here that a lot of people don't know about. Even a lot of people here in the city don't know about. But man, I'd really like to see the internet is the thing that matters with these online games, right? So you can have these teams scrim and all this stuff without having an arena to play in. Like if you just want a training house, that's great. Of course, the next step would be you'd want to have franchise stuff with a buy-in like Overwatch League where I think one of their conditions was in the next X amount of years, you have to build an arena. I might be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure that
this article says by 2020, they're going to have their own arenas. So,
okay.
So 2020 Overwatch League, you will be playing in their hometown. So that means away teams will be traveling across the seas. That's where I want to know if there is – well, man, we can go in a long time. I should say they will be – by 2020, Overwatch League and Blizzard says that they will be having located team events at their cities. So my thought is, are they playing remotely to save money or will they actually travel? We don't know.
I really do think they'll travel.
I think they should. That's the point.
When the money's rolling in, I mean, they'll do that stuff.
Especially if you're relocated. Like so again, say I'm a LA Gladiators fan or I'm in Atlanta, the new Atlanta team, right? I'm from Atlanta, but I live in LA and I see Atlanta's coming to play LA. I want to go support Atlanta.
You'll actually go show up.
I will show up, right? That's the thing.
Instead of playing in like the Overwatch arena or whatever.
Any football or MLTB team, you live in a different city, but you support whatever your hometown is. You go see them when they play the local team.
Yeah.
We're seeing a change. I said this again. I really think these I'm again using the word because we've used it a lot today. Word of the day, geolocated, geolocation. These team-based games, it's going to grow. Call of Duty makes sense. It's one of the biggest. I still, in my personal opinion, it's a console-based game. Someone prove me wrong. I don't know. Maybe I'm not watching the right channels. But to me, it's a console game. But I still think that these teams are going to blow up, grow. And I'm hoping to see. I mean, as a fan here, I mean, all gaming from all around the world, I hope a Kansas City team shows up one day. Mm-hmm. Somewhere close by, but I'm excited to see where it goes. So, and this article being posted on ESPN, I hope there's some legitimacy around it. It says that Activision and Blizzard are going to have 2020 time where Blizzard's going to be having their teams host their games on their home cities. That is crazy. So mm-hmm. That's really cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
Well, let's wrap this up. I tell you what, instead of putting in an ad for one of the other Gamer Heroes shows like we usually would right now, because you and I are doing a shorter show here, Cam and I tend to go all out. The housekeeping that I would have done at the beginning or that Cam would have done at the beginning, because he's a professional.
He is a professional. Cam, can't wait to have you back on here.
Can't
I'm only
wait,
filling
can't
in.
So the housekeeping we have is, first of all, thanks for listening, everybody. We are on Spotify.
Yes.
And we've got Planet Comic Con coming up for anybody who's here in Kansas City or the Midwest.
Or the Midwest, yep.
And as we've said before, we will have a panel on Friday the 29th at 4:30. That'll be about creating a positive impact in gaming, which will be all about our role models in the industry, how we choose to be positive influences, and a bunch of stuff. I'm really excited for that. So we've got me and Mike, and then three of our friends that we work with around Kansas City at our events with. So that's very exciting. We've got Screen Heroes doing a panel on Saturday. That's going to be good stuff. You can see the whole, you can see everything on heroespodcasts.com, where that's where all of our shows are hosted. So no matter where you're getting this, if you visit that website, you can find all the information that we have to offer. I will tell you, I just went this past week to go see Captain Marvel, and I like the movie, but also I have a peanut allergy, and they served me a shake that had peanuts in it.
I saw your post.
Man, it was bad news. It was bad news. So I don't have to get into it, but man, if you can hear my voice right now, please, please take allergies seriously. And if you work in anywhere that serves food, oh, please just know, like, when I say my allergy is bad, I mean you have to be careful what you serve me. It was rough. It was rough. I had to leave the movie during, like, the most action-packed part.
For those of you who also I've worked with Thomas on many gaming events throughout the Midwest, at least especially here in Kansas City, and he had to freak us out, team, one day. He wasn't feeling too well. We didn't have really baby wipes. We ran an event, one of the local con events, and so a lot of gamers, a lot of people just playing video games, and the leader of the event, the administration, had this open thing of peanuts.
Of course.
And people could grab who were volunteering.
By the way, I will stand by my conviction that that is disgusting. I think having open containers.
Everyone was just grabbing peanuts and playing video games and had their hands on their controllers. And,
gross.
And almost immediately we saw Thomas flare up. And he was not having a good day.
I got all itchy and it was awful. I took a Benadryl and that's what knocked me out. So I went out to grab something
and
from my car.
Slept in his car. We freaked out for about 3 hours. Had no idea where he went.
I forgot to tell him. Everybody about my allergy. Yeah, sorry about that.
No.
Anyway, I bring that up because Screen Heroes just had a review of Captain Marvel. I highly suggest going and listening to it. Honestly, I went back and listened to it because there were parts of the movie I missed because I was distracted, because I was itchy and on fire the whole movie. But yeah, go listen to that. Red Shirts and Runabouts has a bunch of stuff. I know, which one is this? Echo Station has a series right now that's all about the costumes of Padme and Queen Amidala in the early Star Wars movies in episode 1, 2, 3. That stuff's really cool, so go check that stuff out. We're all going to be at Planet Comic Con.
Again, what time at Comic Con for Gamer Heroes?
4:30 all right. On Friday.
4:30 on Friday, everyone.
Yeah, so thanks again for everybody for listening. We'll catch you next week. And in the meantime, you can hit us up on Twitter at, GG_Kansas_City, Gamer Heroes Pod, Heroes Podcast Network. Our website is gg-kc.com. You can find everything else, including our Facebook and Discord communities, through our website. And, yeah, hit us up. We, if you're playing Apex or the Division or anything, we'd love to squad up.
We're looking for squads. Here we go.
All right. Well, we will catch you guys next week.
All right. Everyone have a good day. Goodbye.
Gamer Heroes is part of the Heroes Podcast Network and hosted by GGKC. You can find our episodes at heroespodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spreaker, and tons of other podcast apps. Follow us online at Gamer Heroes Pod and at GG_Kansas_City on Twitter or at Heroes Podcasts on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitch. You can also find us on GGKC Facebook page and our website, gg-kc.com. To all you gamers out there, play nice, play well, and play again. See you next week.